I was just absolutely blessed out of my mind to serve as Reinhard Bonnke's personal assistant for a period of months about 8 years ago. And so, you can just imagine all the things that go with just traveling with Reinhard everywhere around the world. And yes, it was all that and more, but that's not what you're here to hear. But that was the foundation for being sent into crusade ministry. And the question before the Lord was, Lord, where are we supposed to go? Are we supposed to do crusades in Africa, like with Reinhard? And the answer was no. And I thought, well, I've got friends and contacts in Europe. And the answer was no. And I was like, well, I was born in Australia and I've got family in Australia. And the answer was no. And really, I was like, well, Lord, we're starting to run out of options. Where are we going? And the answer from the Lord was, I want you to go into Latin America. And I was like, I don't speak Spanish. I don't know anybody down there. I don't know any cultures. And so it was completely, out of the comfort zone. But that's where the Lord called us. Well, for the past 7.5 years, we got involved in doing that. The Lord began, connecting us with incredible people, and all that stuff began to happen. And 20 crusades later, we rolled into this past year. Something happened in this past year in which the Lord put something before us and said, listen, I'm asking you to really begin to believe for something that goes beyond you. And I was like, what is that you're putting in our hearts? He says, how about you call the nation to pray? And it was Jim Faber's country of Honduras, where we had been working for not as long as he had, not even half that time, but had been working and just believing for that nation. And so our heart began to explode. What if we could call the Christian leadership? And what if we could call the political leadership? And what if we could call the media, those three branches together? And then we begin to see things happen. And the first meeting I had with President Lobo of Honduras was in April of last year. And I remember walking into the president's office. I mean, I don't know how many of you have met with, heads of state of nations, but it had not been my experience. And so, to walk in and to like shake the president's hand, and let me tell you something. I mean, I walked up there, I shook his hand, looked him in the eye, shook his hand, and guess what happened? Nothing. I mean, nothing. Hey, but guess what happens if you go up and shake Jesus' hand? Everything happens. And so, but we got to sit down, we got to talk, we got to share a heart for Honduras, and President Lobo just totally bought it. He said, listen, can you be back here in a week? I was like, well, no, I can't, but I mean, my team can be. I was like, why? He said, listen, everything that you shared about our nation is true, but I want you to talk to our vice president. I want you to talk to my entire cabinet, the Secretary of Defense, the Secretary of Commerce, the Secretary of all these different things. They don't call them secretaries, they call them ministerios, but I said, great. So a week later, our team goes right back into the office, and his entire governmental team is in that office, and our team is telling him, God wants to do something in your nation that you cannot do on your own. And he says, yes, I believe in that. Can we meet again in another week? And so I get the call. I was like, how did it go? He said, you're not going to believe this. He wants to meet a third time. Now, my understanding is presidents of nations are very busy people, but something had just got a hold of his heart. And so a week later, here was the phone call. I said, listen, I don't want you to come to my office. I want to get on a plane with some of my leaders, and I want to fly across the country to where you're at in San Pedro Sula. But could you bring the top 100 Christian leaders in that part of the country? Could you bring them to the Hilton Hotel? Because I want to share with them my heart. And I got to thinking, it is one thing for us to be invited to his place. It is a whole different thing for the president to say, I'm going to come to your place. But he did. He got on his plane. He flew across the country in Honduras. We met there in the Hilton Hotel, and he just shared his heart with those 100 leaders and Christian leaders and pastors. Anyway, after that was over, he seriously, literally became our crusade director for like a couple of months leading into July. We had 152 people from around the country who got on a plane, flew down, and helped us with the crusade. When we got, it's the World Cup Stadium. It sits about 80,000 people. We got in there, the president of the nation gets on that platform and he says this, I know there's rain in the area, my advisors told me not to come tonight, but I told them there are going to be Christians filling that stadium and they're going to be there praying and they're going to believe that even if it rains all over the rest of the country, it's not going to rain inside that stadium, so we're going to go. And so he's sharing this and then he gets up there and what was incredible was the president of the nation of Honduras with the mayor of San Pedro Sula, one's blue party, one's red party. They are the two leading heads of both parties, standing on the same platform. They don't even like each other. They won't even look at each other. But they were both in that platform at the very same time, and they humbled themselves before God. They humbled themselves before each other. They humbled. And you know, Brenda's nodding. Sherry's nodding. They were there, totally seeing the whole thing. And they humbled themselves before God and said, God, we cannot make this happen through politics. Our countries, and if you know the history of the last 6 or 7 years of Honduras, you know the trouble that country is in. But yeah, it's just amazing that we can't make this happen. But you've got to do it, God. You've got to change the culture. You've got to break the violence. And the president of La Cochecha, Apostle Misia, he has the largest church in the nation. He was there and he laid hands on the president and he just prayed a blessing and called out upon the Lord. And it was really crazy because we had like over 1,000 churches involved with us for those 2 nights. And I remember the first night you have all the denominational leaders. I mean, some of them are Pentecostal, some of them are not, but they're all standing on that platform. They're all together in unity and they're crying out to God for the country. Then the president comes up and the mayor comes up, two different political parties humbling themselves before God, crying out to God to do something in their country. And then I'm supposed to speak. I mean, you're talking about anticlimactic. I was like, we've had, you know, but the Lord was just, you know, incredibly amazing. And you know, the second night, just the power of God fell in that place, and over 10,000 people ran to the altar. I mean, right, Brendan? I mean, the people on the very back end of the stadium, like, you know, I mean, a long way away. You see these guys, you're right, young men sprinting down. I mean, like during the Olympics, trying to get a gold medal, sprinting down the backstretch to get to the altar so they could give their life to Jesus. Just the presence of God. And so Elisa then mentioned how we just transitioned, you know, that was, you know, writing in the sky, it's time for you to leave, you know, your security blanket at this local church that's been paying yourself. It's time for you to leave that and to step into this thing full time. And so we did. And so tell them what we were thinking was going to happen right after that, because we didn't have any plans. She didn't know. We didn't know. That's the answer. We didn't know. We were so in on that whole thing because, like, okay, we've never worked with presidents of nations before, but so let's not worry about what's beyond that. Let's just push in. So we pushed in. We got to the other side, and we thought, well, now what do we do? And so, you know, we stepped out from our church, and you know, we're going to get on the water. I mean, if this is what you've called us to do, if you've called us to, you know, we're going to do it. And so, but we anticipated going back and doing really smaller events in Honduras. Well, guess what? The door just closed. I mean, the door, as quickly as it sprang open, it just closed. And so, you want to say something? Okay, yeah, for this year, just this year. Don't worry, you know, Jim, we're going to go back into Honduras. Just for this next year. And so 2 weekends later, we get on a plane, we fly to Nicaragua. No plan, no contacts, no idea. And so I'm like, why are we flying down to Nicaragua? Wow, you know, we got to go someplace. So we fly, literally, just like, so we're flying down in faith to Nicaragua to get to the hotel so that me, our crusade director, and our vice president can just pray and fast and seek the Lord and say, God, is there anything in this country or should we move to another? And our crusade director says, here's the deal. There are 7 men in this country. They have the pulse on this nation. They are heads of denominations. They are political leaders. They are the head of, like, you know, the most powerful television networks in the country. If we could get a hold of just one of those guys, then we're going to be able to get an idea of what the pulse is for Nicaragua, and we'll be able to hear from that. Lord, is this what we're supposed to do? So we're flying in on the Wednesday. We're going to fly out on the Sunday. We've got 4 days. I'm thinking, what are the chances that one of these guys has like a window in his daytime planner, you know, that we can slide into? Because these guys, they're denominational leaders. I mean, they have churches of 30,000 people. I mean, their schedules are jam-packed. There's just no way you just go, hey, hello, can I meet with, you know, that's just not going to happen. So, but we said, Lord, just give us one. By the time it was over, we'd met with all 7 of them. And here's the miracle of all of it. We didn't leave the hotel for 6 of them. Only one guy did we have to go to is because he couldn't come to us. All the other ones. I mean, all the stories was like, listen, I had 3 services tonight and a wedding and a funeral and all these incredible things. But the Lord put something in my heart, so I started coming towards the hotel. And of course, someone's car broke down. I let him in. Of course, he's the head of another denomination. And we both rode in together. And I'm thinking, you got to be kidding. And they walk in. I'm thinking, oh my goodness, here are 2 of the most powerful men in this nation. This guy's a political. This guy's running for the minister of religion. And if that wasn't enough, we didn't even have to, we should have known something was happening, because when we flew in, you know, God was burning things in our heart. But we met with those seven guys, all these different denomination guys, said, why can't we do that here? Why can't we call Nicaragua to pray? Why can't we, you know, reach out to all the political branches? Why can't we reach out to the television and the government? And why can't we bring it to, and they begin to call for Nicaragua praise. So I said, God, it was one thing to do something in San Pedro Sula in Honduras, a city of 1 million. It's a whole nother thing to do something in Managua, which is almost 3 million people. I mean, it's everything up until this point has been part-time ministry. You know, how is this even possible? Except that nothing's impossible with God. So we fly back in at the beginning of December, and we get to the airport thinking, well, okay, we're going to have to build some momentum because nobody really knows what we're going to do. And we start walking off the plane, and there's a man there with a big sign that says, Stephen Evans and the five people who are traveling with me. I'm like, oh, my goodness, did somebody say something or do something? Are we, you know? And he says, no, come with me. And so we walk, and the customs is this and that, and we just keep walking down the hall with him. And we walk into this huge lounge, and we're in this lounge. Like, do you want coffee? Would you like tea? Would you like some Coke? And I'm like, we've got to go through customs. And they said, no, just sit down. Give me your passport. We give them our passport. 5 minutes later, they come back and say, hey, just come with me. We walk out this other door, and we come down these steps, and there we are in the parking lot. There are our bags, and there are our cars ready to take us to the hotel. We didn't even go through customs. I'm like, you know what? We need to go through. No. The president has taken care of it. What? And so, you know, we just, you know, next thing you know, we're meeting with, all these political people, all these army people. And then we had the kickoff, and they told us, they said, listen, don't expect more than 45 people in this. And I'll shut up, I'm sorry. But don't expect more than 45 people in this, because you have this alliance and this alliance and this alliance. They've never once come together. It's always been like, it's your deal, you do it, we'll stay over here. But we walked into that room. It was in a Holiday Inn banquet hall, and they told us, you know, if you have 40 people or more, you need to rejoice. And we walked into that place, and there was over 400 people, all denominational leaders or political leaders, congressmen, and they're all there in December. And we got up on the platform and said, what are you all doing here? I'm told that you don't do something together, but this is fantastic. And just began to pour our heart out. So now we are in the middle of getting ready for another journey with Jesus that, you know, goes beyond anything we've ever imagined. That is why I was saying at the very beginning, let the fire of God burn in your soul, because it will take you to places you have no right to go. You don't have the background, the pedigree, the experience. You don't have any of that. But if the fire of God's burning in your soul and he's working the character at the same time, it doesn't matter. It just doesn't matter. And so, you know, we're getting ready. It's at the No, Brendan already told me when I walked in, hey, man, when is the dates? Because I'm coming. And it's the 29th of July is when the teams will fly down. I mean, I was just in Canada. Huge team coming from Canada. We're going to be going to Seattle in a month. Teams coming from Seattle. So we're seeing teams already, adult teams and youth teams, coming from around the country. We need about 500 people is what we need on the ground, because in Honduras, we gave out 30,000 pounds of food in 3 days in all the poor areas. We probably need to give out about 80 or 90,000 pounds of food in the areas. So anyway, the team's flying on the 29th. They'll see the crusade on the 1st and 2nd or 2nd and 3rd of August, and then we'll fly home. So you have one more thing. God bless you guys. Thank you for letting us share.